Look up to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us into your holy presence this morning. You're good, kind, gracious towards your people. As we come into the secret of your presence, Lord, may you come down upon us in full measure to fill every heart, to cause every one of you, O Lord God, to delight in you and to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray, O Lord God, that every day of our lives we may seek to glorify your holy name, and every day ask ourselves this question: how may I be able to serve you better till you come again? O Lord, we pray that you will be with us in a very special way this morning. As we look up to you in prayer, and we look up to you with great expectancy, we pray, O Lord God, that you will be pleased to bless your people, so that at the conclusion of the worship service, all of us may be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Father, we thank you for children that you have brought to this church. Continue to bless and to strengthen them in the most holy faith through the lessons that they learn at the Sunday school and at the kids' club. Father, we pray that the teachers may be filled with your Holy Spirit. Grant them the joy of service, so that they may not feel that it is burdensome to teach, but it is a joy to teach and a joy to transmit your word to them. Father, we pray that you will cause them, the teachers, to pray diligently for the children. And we pray that you will cause the children to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray also for the young people in this church. Thank you for blessing them with growth in numbers as well as in spiritual depth. We pray, O Lord, that they may continue to grow. And Father, we pray that you will bless the witness, so that wherever they may be, whether it be in the schools, in the universities, or whether in the workplaces, we pray that you will be with them, guide, strengthen, empower, enable them, O Lord God, to witness a good confession for you wherever you have placed them in. We pray that they may also learn much through the meeting that they have every Lord's Day. We pray that you will guide them and strengthen them. We also want to thank you, O Lord, for the Adults Fellowship. We pray that you will continue to bless those who are in this fellowship. Thank you for the meeting that was held yesterday. We pray that all those who came might have received great blessings from you. We pray that you will continue to strengthen them, continue to bless them, increase the numbers, cause the adults to love you and to delight themselves in you. Enable them, empower them, so that they may be able to set good examples for the congregation members to follow. Our Father, we also want to commit to you the Ladies Bible Fellowship. Continue to strengthen the ladies as they meet every fortnightly. We pray that your Holy Spirit may work in their hearts to cause them, O Lord God, to be strengthened in the most holy faith, and that they may indeed be a great, good spiritual influence in this church. We pray, Father, also for the senior ones in the church, those who are getting on in years. Be with them, empower them, help them that they may be able to set good examples for the congregation members to follow. And Lord, we want to also commit to you the camp that we will be having in July. Do be with all your people. We pray that you will prepare their hearts to come, so that when they come, they will receive a great blessing from you. We pray for Reverend Craig and also for our sister Sandra Teo, that you will be with them as they come and bring your word to the adults and the children. Empower them, and we pray that the word that is going to come forth from them may be a great blessing to all the campus. We pray that you will be with your people. We pray that the camp, O Lord, may indeed be a start of a revival in this church by your grace. Father, we thank you for the completion of the 30 in 30 in April. Lord, we pray that this habit of giving up tracts might have been well inculcated in the hearts of all those who were participants. We pray, O Lord God, that you will be gracious and that through this distribution of tracts, some might come to believe in you as Lord and Savior. Now, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies upon your people. We pray that as we look up to you, may you continue to strengthen us, teach us to love you and to serve you well. We commit to you the government of this country. Do be with all those who are in leadership. We pray that they may be God-fearing, so that they may be able to govern this country with fairness and with equity. O Lord, be very gracious. Now, Lord, as we open the sacred pages, may you speak to each one of us in a very special way. Cleanse us of all sins and iniquities. Draw us closer unto yourself. Fill us with your mighty Holy Spirit. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen. I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A very warm welcome to all of you. Special welcome to my dear friend, Dr. Fung, Elder Fung from Singapore. Very good to see you. And welcome back to all those who have traveled. I know some of you must have traveled. Welcome back to you. And if you have not been coming for some time, welcome back to the church. The Lord bless you and the Lord strengthen you. The topic this morning is Paul, a man of prayer. Paul, a man of prayer, and the passage that we read earlier on, Romans chapter 1, verses 7 to 13, is my text for this morning. The children of Israel during the time of the Exodus were a very murmuring people, and that was what they were famous for, murmuring. They murmured against God, in spite of the fact that they witnessed miracles after miracles performed by the one true living God. Remember when the one true living God delivered them out of the land of Egypt, he sent plagues upon plagues on the Egyptians. 10 plagues. And then the Lord God then parted the Red Sea, caused the children of Israel to walk over dry land to cross the Red Sea. And in the wilderness wandering for the next 40 years, the one true living God led the children of Israel by a pillar of cloud during the day and by a pillar of fire at night. And the pillar of cloud not only served as the guidance for them, but the pillar of cloud also provided shade for them from the heat of the desert sun. And the pillar of fire not only guided them, but also provided heat for the children of Israel to protect them against the cold of the desert. And every day God provided them with heavenly food, manna. And yet the children of Israel murmured, and they murmured against the one true living God, when they should have been giving thanks unto the Lord. Seeing all those miracles and having been blessed by him, they should be thanking him and thanking him all the time. But no, they murmured. Now why did they murmur? They murmured because they were filled with unbelief. That's why they murmured. They didn't believe that this God of theirs was both able and faithful, able to provide for them, able to protect them, able to preserve them, and that he was absolutely faithful to them. He never failed them. Yet they murmured when they should be filled with thanksgiving in their hearts. Now, as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are really true believers in the Lord, we must be filled with thanksgiving unto the Lord all the time. Yes, all the time. And the great Apostle Paul has set us this great example. And that was what he did all the time, giving thanks unto the Lord. Now this morning I want to cover 3 points. Number one is giving thanks in prayer. Number two, service and prayer. And number three, effectual prayer. So 3 things I want to talk about this morning on prayer. First, giving thanks unto the Lord in prayer. Look at the example set for us by the great Apostle Paul. In spite of the great persecutions that he experienced, this man was always filled with a heart of thanks, was one who was always filled with thanksgiving unto the Lord. Look at the way he wrote to the folks in the city of Thessalonica. Remember, in Thessalonica he was persecuted. In Philippi he was persecuted. Then he came to Thessalonica, again persecuted. And look at what he says. in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. All right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You actually don't have to turn to that verse because you know that verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, not just something, in everything give thanks unto the Lord, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then you will remember when he was Paul and Silas were beaten in the city of Philippi in Paul's first missionary journey, or second missionary journey. Yes, Paul and Silas were beaten and then thrown into maximum security imprisonment. They were, of course, feeling the great pain of the beatings. But in spite of the beatings, at midnight, what did they do? The word of God tells us that they sang praises unto the Lord. They gave thanks unto the Lord. That's what they did. And then later on, when Paul was in prison in Rome, he wrote to the folks in the city of Philippi. Again, he encouraged them to give thanks. He said, you know these verses also, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You see, we all know, with thanksgiving. Yes, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will. We say we want to do God's will. Alright, doing God's will means, of course, obeying His word, obeying His laws. Yes, doing His will also means being holy. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said what? The one true living God said, be holy because I'm holy. So if you want to do the will of God, obey His word, be holy. And there's one other thing that we are told to do here. Why? What is it? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And when we give thanks unto the Lord, you know what we are actually doing? We are expressing faith unto the one true living God. The children of Israel didn't know how to do that. All they knew was to complain and to murmur. They were filled with unbelief. But if we really have faith in the one true living God, then we should be giving thanks unto Him. When? All the time, in everything, of course. Now, the problem with many of us is that we fail to give thanks unto Him in prosperity. We forget to give thanks unto Him. In prosperity, we behave exactly like people in the world. Yes, we think that it is by our strength, our wisdom, that we are able to do all those things that we did. And we think that it was by our wisdom, by our strength, we got all those things that we got. Yes, we behave exactly like people in the world. And we forget this truth, that promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but promotion comes from the one true living God. We forget that. Then in adversity, again we behave like people in the world. What do? We murmur and we complain. And we complain and we murmur. That's what we do. We behave as if our God is dead, or that we do not have a God. And we completely ignore the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. That's why we murmur and we complain. What we know is to reckon that everything is bad, 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 and bad. And going from bad to worse. Isn't it true? Yes. Like Paul, let us always and always remember to give thanks in everything. Yes. Good things as well as things that appear to be bad. Let us always be giving thanks unto Him. And let us, by the grace of God, in faith, be able to say that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now the next question is, what did Paul give thanks for? You look at verse 8. What did he give thanks for? He said, first, I thank my God through Christ Jesus for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So what was Paul's focus on? Paul's focus was on spiritual things. He didn't give thanks for the material blessings or whatever physical blessings that the folks in Rome might be receiving. But he gave thanks unto the Lord for the faith that the Roman Christians had received from the one true living God. And this faith was spoken of throughout the world of the Roman Empire. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and chapter 1 verses 2 and 3, I think it's good for us to look at these two verses and see what the great Apostle Paul gives thanks to the Lord for. In the case of the church in Rome, he gave thanks unto the Lord for their faith. Now let us see what he gave thanks to the Lord for with regards to the folks in the city of Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 2 and 3. I read for you these two verses. Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering what? Remembering without ceasing your work of faith." Something spiritual, right? And labor of love against something spiritual, and patience of hope against something spiritual in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. My dear friends, the great Apostle Paul had his focus correct. He focused on spiritual things when he gave thanks unto the one true living God. Now these are the most important things to give thanks to the Lord for. They're important because they are things that matter, things that count for eternity, not physical things, but spiritual things. Now, I shared this at our prayer meeting concerning this, the son of these relatives of mine. Now, he appears to be a bright boy, did well in school, he got a scholarship, and then he's today studying in one of the prestigious universities in America. I caught up with his parents and I inquired about their son. And they told me that the son was doing well in school. Yes, happy with his studies. But then I was very disappointed, because they also told me that the son was not going to church. How sad. When he was a little boy, he went to church. As a teenager, he went to church. And now, in America, studying, doing well in his studies, he is not going to church. In spite of the fact that he has got a roommate who is going to church and who has been urging him to go to church, and he won't go. How sad. Now, what wonderful news I would have received from his parents if I had heard from their parents that he's doing well in his studies. But most of all, he's very, very active in actively involved in the church there, serving in the Lord in the Sunday school, actively involved in the youth fellowship and so forth. Now, if he was involved in all those things, then that would be great cause for thanksgiving. But that was not the case. Friends, he was doing well in his studies, but not going to church. How sad. Parents, yes, it's true. It is good and necessary for all of us to pray for our children, for their success in their studies, success in their work, success in their business, success in their social relationship. It's good and needful that we pray for their good health, that we pray for their safety. All these are good things to pray for. But most importantly, what ought we to be praying for them? Friends, we ought to pray for their spiritual well-being. That is number one. That must be number one on our list. Yes, I urge you, friends, that you pray for their salvation. Number one, pray for their salvation. And pray that they may be kept in the most holy faith, if they have already trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Pray that they may be witnessing a good confession for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that they may be able to abstain from all appearance of evil. And pray that they may be serving the Lord diligently. And if they are really walking close to the Lord, need you worry about them? You ask yourself, need you worry about them if they are working close to the Lord? No, you don't have to worry about them. They may not be doing well materially, but dear friends, they will be living lives that are most meaningful, most joyous, because they are living close to the Lord. And then they will be continually giving thanks unto the Lord for your spiritual concern for them. And you on your part, when he comes to giving thanks unto the Lord, you will be thanking the Lord for the tremendous spiritual blessings that God has been showering on your children. And these blessings, as we said, are good not only for now, but they are good for all eternity. Then on the day of reckoning, when you stand before the Lord, and when your children also stand before the Lord in the future, and you see the Lord praising them because they had done well spiritually, they had been serving the Lord faithfully, and the Lord honors them on that day. My dear friends, if you see that happening to them, they will be your crown of rejoicing. The Word of God says, they will be your crown of rejoicing. And they will be what they will be because of you, because you prayed for them. And that is why they will be what they will be. So friends, let us be filled with thanksgiving when we pray. And make sure that our focus is right when we give thanks unto the Lord. Make sure that our focus is on spiritual things. And when we pray and we give thanks, we are actually expressing faith unto the one true living God. Next, I'd like to move on to service and prayer. My second point, service and prayer. Now, Paul was an extremely busy person. But it seemed the more busy he was, the more he would pray. And so we read in verses 8 and to 10, Romans chapter 1. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, did you read those words? Without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Yes, Paul was very busy, but the more busy he was, the more he would pray. And here he tells us he prayed without ceasing. Now in the church, we need prayer warriors. Do we not need prayer warriors? Sure we do, we need prayer warriors. And some are gifted prayer warriors. They could be people who are bedridden, people who are infirmed, but they are able to pray. And they can be great prayer warriors. In this little village, in this place called Barvas, in the Hebrides. I mentioned this before. This village called Barvas, in the Hebrides, lived two old women. One was 84 years old, the other one 82. The older, they were sisters. The older sister was Peggy Smith. The younger sister Christine Smith. And they prayed diligently. They could not go to church because they were too infirm to go to church. The older sister was blind and the younger sister was almost bent double over because she was suffering from arthritis. And so what they did was, instead of going to church, they made their home a sanctuary where they met with the one true living God. And they prayed diligently for a revival to come to the Hebrides. The Hebrides are some islands off the north coast of Scotland. And they prayed. And in the year 1949, God sent a great revival to the Hebrides because these two women prayed. Yes, Peggy and Christine Smith, great prayer warriors for the Lord. But friends, it's not only the infirmed and the bedridden that should be prayer warriors. We too must be prayer warriors. The Lord Jesus Christ has set us the example. He is the Son of God. He is also the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, let us see how he prayed. Before he chose his disciples, he prayed. I'd like us to turn to Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, but keep your finger at Romans 1. Luke chapter 12, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Look at how the Lord prayed. Luke 6, 12 and 13. 12 and 13, Luke chapter 6. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray. He went into a mountain to pray and he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So before he did this very important thing of choosing his disciples, he prayed all night. And then when he wanted to reveal to his three inner circle disciples, Peter, James, and John, when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord prayed. He prayed, then he revealed his glorified self to them. And then after he fed the 5,000, and when he appeared to be tired, when he knew also the hearts of men that they wanted a Messiah that will continually feed them, he prayed. And this is what we read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. Please turn with me to Matthew 14, 23, and you see that the Lord prayed. Yes, Matthew 14, 23. 14:23. Alright, I read for you again. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. You see? And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Then before he went to the cross, he prayed that high priestly prayer recorded for us in John chapter 17. And then on that night, on that Thursday night, before he was arrested, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane with his three inner circle disciples, Peter, James, and John. And the Lord prayed. And we have this recorded for us in Luke 22:24. Please turn to Luke 22:24. Luke 22:24. Please turn to that verse, Luke 22:24. Luke 22:24. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prayed, and he needed to pray. While the Lord served, he prayed. He could never have served if he had not prayed. Now Paul, like his master, was also a very, very busy person in the Lord's service. And his work took him from Antioch of Syria, across the Asia Minor, and into Europe, and then to Rome. And how did he travel? He traveled on foot, and he traveled by sea. Yes, and he suffered shipwreck. How many shipwrecks did he suffer? Three? At least three. I think at least four. All right, at least four shipwrecks. And he was frequently beaten, stoned, imprisoned. And then apart from these very, very traumatic experiences, he had the cares of the church on his shoulders. Yes, he had to build up the churches that he ministered to in the most holy faith. And of course, the churches were experiencing infiltration by false teachers. And so the great apostle Paul also had to defend the churches against the attacks of the evil one. He was so busy. And apart from that, he suffered from poor health. What did he suffer from? Yes, the thorn in the flesh, of course. He had poor health. Being so busy, so hindered by persecution, so hindered by his bad health. Yet he was able to serve the way he did. Now, why was he able to serve? Friends, the reason is he prayed. That's the reason. And he prayed without ceasing. And Romans chapter 1, verse 9 tells us that he prayed without ceasing. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, taking care of this church, I already sometimes feel the burden of caring for this church, although I bear the burden joyfully. Often I wish that in a week I can have another day, but I don't have it. And surely many ministers of the gospel feel the same way I do. But our pressure, my dear friends, is nothing compared to the kind of pressure that the great apostle Paul experienced. Executives in company can feel very busy, and they can feel the pressure of their work. And you students, can you not also feel very, very pressured by your studies? Yes, no. Of course you feel very pressured by your studies also when your exams come around. And then businessmen will also feel busyness and feel pressure in their work. But friends, our pressure, our busyness are nothing compared to the times the great apostle Paul faced. But Paul not only coped, but very often he spoke very triumphantly about his service in the Lord. Yes, the reason is he prayed, and he prayed without ceasing. The busier we are, the greater pressure that we experience, the more we ought to pray. You agree? Yes, we ought to pray. This friend of mine, my former classmate, was sitting for his final year medical exams. He had to study very, very hard to pass his exams. And when the exams were very, very close, he told me that he studied so hard that his mind was all filled up. Nothing else could ever go in. And so what did he do? He told me that he prayed more than he studied. And the Lord was very gracious to him. The Lord enabled him to pass, and he graduated. One day, the great reformer, Martin Luther, was so very busy, so inundated with work, and he said, "I'm so very, very busy that I have to spend the next 3 hours praying." Yes, so busy. I need to spend the next 3 hours praying. Now, this theologian by the name of Robert Heldon said, "Prayer and labor ought to go together. To pray without laboring is to mock God. To labor without prayer is to rob God of his glory. Until these are conjoined, meaning prayer and labor, the gospel will not be extensively successful." How true! If we pray, but we don't do, we are just paying God lip service. We are just mocking God. We say, "Lord, help me to do this, help me to do that," but you don't do. Friends, aren't you mocking God? We are, my dear friends. So when we pray, "Lord, help me to do this, help me to do that," let us be very, very prepared to say to the Lord, "Lord, here am I, send me." Let's be very prepared to do that. And then if we labor, but don't pray, what would we have in this church? What do you think? We do, but we don't pray. What would we have in this church? What we will have here will be nothing but activities and programs. That's all. Programs, activities, activities, programs. That's all. Nothing spiritual. We are not going to get spiritual results. And for sure, we are not going to have a revival here if we just do and we don't pray. So all fellowship groups, all of us, please take note. We need to pray. Yes, great heroes of the faith prayed, and they did. Paul prayed, and he did. The great hero in the Old Testament, great hero of the faith, Nehemiah, he was a man of action. He prayed and he did. The apostles, they prayed and they did. Remember, they prayed, they spent 10 days praying before Pentecost. And when Pentecost came, what did they do? Sat down and did nothing and continued to pray. Of course they continued to pray, but they also did. They stood up and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. As a result of which, 3,000 came to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Paul prayed, and his service was no lip service, but wholehearted service. You look at verse 9, again, Romans chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit." Now what he's saying is, I'm serving the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind and strength. When he said, "whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son." Yes, that's what he means. I'm serving him all out. Some serve as man pleasers. Some serve for the praises of men. Some serve for monetary gains. Some serve slothfully. Some serve professionally. Regarding their service as a kind of a job, I'm referring particularly to ministers of the gospel. Well, the great apostle Paul, because he prayed, he served wholeheartedly with the right focus. All right, you just look at the kind of focus that he had. Okay, verse 9. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit," which means he served all out, "in the gospel of his Son." Did you read those words? "In the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." He served wholeheartedly, sincerely in the gospel of his Son. His focus was on the gospel. And that is what our focus must be, my dear friends, when we serve. Yes, our focus must be on the gospel. Our service must be very gospel oriented. Now in this church, every year we have some 4 or 5 celebrations, right? We have we celebrate Chinese New Year, we celebrate Easter, and now soon we'll be celebrating Mother's Day, and we celebrate the anniversary, and then we celebrate Christmas. So we have quite a few celebrations in a year. But friends, our celebrations will be nothing but activities if we don't have the right focus. Our focus must be gospel. It must be, all our activities must be gospel oriented. And thankfully we pray. That's why we don't forget. You see, if you don't pray, you forget the focus. Every time before we have a celebration, we remember to pray at the church prayer meeting. We pray, Lord, help us that we may understand that this celebration is not just a physical activity. Help us to understand that it is an opportunity for us to share the gospel with others. So you see, we always want to be sure that all our celebrations are very, very gospel focused. Now, if we want all our services to be even more gospel-focused, all of us must pray for our activities in the church in our private prayers. Have you been praying for all the activities in the church in your private prayers? You must be doing that, so that our focus will always and always be right. And this gospel focus through prayer must be applied not to only our celebrations, but to all the activities of the fellowships in the church. Yes, the AF, the U Fellowship, the Uni Fellowship, the Ladies Bible Fellowship, our Agape Gathering. Friends, let us always remember to pray so that our focus may be right. The focus must be gospel. Next, let's move on to my third point, which is effectual prayer. Now, was Paul effectual in his prayer? In other words, was he effective in his prayer? We might say, no, in this instance, he was not effective in his prayer because he was praying to have the opportunity to visit the city of Rome, to minister to the folks there. And he could not go there immediately. So it would appear as if God had not answered his prayers. You look at verses 10 and 11. Romans chapter 1, 10 and 11. Making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Verse 11. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. But Paul never got to Rome until some years later. And when he got to Rome, he didn't go to Rome as a free man. He went to Rome as a prisoner. You see? As a prisoner. Now let's not forget, Paul was one who was very, very strong-willed. Yes, strong-willed, a man of action. Did he not plan to go to Rome? Of course he planned to go to Rome. Do you not think that he was all geared up, all ready to go? At a moment's notice, he'll be off to Rome. Would you not think that that was Paul? Yes, he would have done that. But Paul also remembered to pray this prayer. Look at verse 10 again. Making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey, what? By the will of God. You see, very important. Remember that. By the will of God to come unto you. By the will of God. He was a man of action, but he was also one who was very, very conscious of doing the will of the Lord. And God's will was what? God's will was that he should not be going to Rome immediately. And because God had something more pressing and more important for him to do in Asia and in Greece. And so Paul didn't get to go to Rome. Now he put his desire to visit Rome as a matter of prayer before God. And then God answered his prayer. In whose time? Paul's time? No, friends, in God's time. So that when God answered his prayers, it will be to God's glory and it will be to the best interest of those who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. But he said, but Paul went as a prisoner. What good would he be to the Lord if he went to Rome as a prisoner? Remember, he was taken prisoner by the Romans because actually the Romans wanted to protect him from the Jews who wanted to kill him. All right. We'll turn to
Acts chapter 28, verses 16 to 17. Acts 28, 16 to 17. Acts 28, 16 to 17. Look at what kind of prisoner he was. He said that he was taken to Rome as a prisoner. What good would he be to the Lord if he was a prisoner? Acts 18, 28, 16 to 17. And when we came to Rome, we, and this is indicative that the writer of the book of Acts was also traveling along with Paul. Now who was he? Who? Dr. Luke, all right. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. They traveled in this ship. On board this ship, there were more than 200 passengers, and many of them were prisoners. Yes, but Paul had special treatment. But Paul was allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. What kind of imprisonment was that? They call that house arrest. All right, that's what it means. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. So he was placed under house arrest. And because he was under house arrest, even though his movement was restricted, he could still be effectively made use of the Lord. He was a great witness for the Lord. He could summon the leaders of the among the Jews to come to meet with him. He was able to minister to the folks in the city of Rome. And so, we read this, his spiritual exploits, about his spiritual exploits. And we read this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 13. All right, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 13. He was in prison in Rome. All right, and this was what he said. Philippians 1:13. So that my bonds, it means my imprisonment in Christ, are manifest in all the palace. Whose palace? The palace of whom? Caesar, of course. The palace of Caesar. And in all other places. Yes, his imprisonment, his witness became known to all those people who were in the courts of Caesar and the household of Caesar. And then in prison, he was able to write letters to the churches that he ministered to. And he wrote at least four letters to the churches, and one to a person by the name of Philemon. He wrote to the churches in Ephesus, in Philippi, and in Colossae. You see, while he was in prison. So was he made use of the Lord when he was in prison? The answer is yes. He was made use of the Lord when he was in prison. So was his prayer effectual? The answer is yes, because even though he went was taken prisoner to Rome, he was able to serve the Lord effectively. God will always answer our prayers based on his timing. And when he answers our prayers, it is for his glory and for our good, if we pray in accordance to his will. Now, our prayers are effectual not only because they change things. When we pray unto the Lord, let's understand that our prayers are effectual. They are effectual not only because they change things, but they change people. They change people for whom we pray. And of course, they change ourselves also. Now, Paul, in his early days before his conversion, was one who was what? Hard-hearted. Remember? Hard-hearted, very cruel. He would go around ferreting out Christians to persecute them. And he will force them to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they were put to death, he gave his support. He said, I gave my voice. He gave his support. He was one who was hard-hearted and cruel. And this hard-hearted, unyielding characteristic of his was carried over even into the days after he was converted. All right, we see this in that dispute that he had with Barnabas. Remember that? Yes. He and Barnabas had a very sharp contention between them over this young man called John Mark. You see, they took John Mark with them in their first missionary journey. And then John Mark dropped out in the first missionary journey, possibly because he could not take the rigors of the missionary journey. So when they were about to go on the second missionary journey, Paul didn't want John Mark to come along. Barnabas said, yes, let's bring him along. But Paul was very, very insistent. No, John Mark will not come along. And the contention between the two men was so sharp that they had to go separate ways. But look at this man. That was the hard side of him. But after his conversion, let us see the soft side of Paul. Look at verse 11 in Romans chapter 1, verse 11. All right, and you see the soft side of Paul. Yes, after his conversion, 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. I long to see you. And he said that from the bottom of his heart. And remember when he wrote to the folks in the city of Thessalonica, what did he see himself as? He saw himself as a spiritual father to them. And not only as a spiritual father, we say father might not be that soft-hearted, but he saw himself also as a spiritual mother to them, as a nurse to them, as a spiritual mother to them. So you see what prayer did to this man. Over the years, he must have prayed daily. And as he prayed, he will become more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Then look at the matter of his being afflicted with a thorn in the flesh. Yes, he prayed three times for the Lord to have this thorn removed from him. And that was his desire. Lord, remove this thorn from me. But the Lord said no to him. All the three times the Lord said no to him. And then the Lord finally said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then what did Paul say? Most gladly therefore will I rather in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So did Paul change? Yes. He went in to the Lord, Lord, remove this thorn. When the Lord said no to him, he said, alright, Lord, let me have the thorn, so that I remain humble. Because God wanted him to be humble. So Lord, I remain humble. And then he said, I glory in my infirmities, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So he changed. He prayed and he changed. Now I read about this missionary couple who, after serving many years in Africa, were retiring in the early 1900s. They returned to America in a ship, and in the same ship was the President of America, President Roosevelt. Now this president was in Africa, all right? This missionary couple served in Africa, and President Roosevelt visited Africa for what purpose? For game hunting. And when he came on board, he was given a very, very grand reception. Great fanfare was given to him, and then there were dignitaries to welcome him. Yes, and when the ship arrived in America, again he received a warm reception from government officials, and they applauded the president when the ship docked alongside the wharf. But nobody paid attention to this couple, this missionary couple whose health had gone kaput in the because of their service in Africa, and they had become penniless and they had no home to go to. Then the man told his wife, this missionary man told his wife, we have served God and we come home and there is not a single soul to welcome us. We have no money and we have nowhere to go to. If God is running the world, how come he allows such injustice? This man getting such great reception and for us, nothing. His wife told him, you had better go into your prayer room to pray. And so he did that. He went into the room to pray, and when he came out of his prayer room, his wife said to him, You feel better now, don't you? And he said, yes. He said, I told the Lord how we had served, how our wealth is broken, how health is broken, and now we have no money and we have nowhere to go to. I complained to him about the injustice. And that when we get home, there was nobody at the wharf to greet us. And as I prayed, I felt as if God's hand was placed on my shoulder. And as if I heard this still small voice saying to me, but you're not home yet. You're not home yet. When you get home, you're going to receive great glory. But you're not home yet. So you see, my dear friends, prayer changes people. Yes, when we pray for people, they not only change, but when we pray for people, we ourselves change also. So this morning, let us learn to pray like the great Apostle Paul. When we pray like him, we will always remember to give thanks. And when we give thanks unto the Lord, we are actually expressing our faith in him. Yes, particularly when we know how to give thanks unto the Lord, not only in times of prosperity, but also in times of adversity. And we will indeed be a grateful people and be showing great faith in the Lord if we are able to say like the great Apostle Paul, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we must give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. In everything, give thanks. That's the will of God for us. And when we pray, and when we give thanks, let us be focusing on what kind of blessings. Material or spiritual? Spiritual blessings, my dear friends. And for success in our service, we must pray. The busier we are, the more we ought to pray. The Lord was busy, he prayed. Paul was busy, he prayed. Great saints were busy, they prayed. We must do the same. And finally, our prayers will be very effectual if we pray in accordance to his will. And remember what his will is. His will is always to answer our prayers in accordance to his glory and to the best of our interest. Prayers are effectual because when we pray, we not only change things, we change people, but most importantly, they change ourselves. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Lord, we pray that we may learn how to pray like the great Apostle Paul. Help us, O Lord God, in our prayer to have our focus right, and that is always to give thanks unto you, and to give thanks for the spiritual blessings that you have given to us. Help us that we may have our focus right all the time. And let us, we pray, Lord God, that we may always remember to pray when we serve. For unless we pray, we will not be able to serve you effectively. And Lord, help us also to remember that our prayers unto you do not fall upon deaf ears. But our prayers unto you are effectual if we pray in accordance to your will. And your will is always to glorify your own holy name. And your will is also to bless us with great blessings from on high in accordance to your will and your mercies. And Father, we pray that we may understand this wonderful truth, that when we pray for others and when we go on our knees to pray, we ourselves in time will change. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.